If I would have held on to my one limiting belief, none of that would have happened.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there like that, that where you have a limiting belief about yourself or your kids or other people or the world. And because of it, nothing happens. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You don't succeed. And so I really realized is that our beliefs are so important. And for a lot of people on here, you are one single limiting belief away from that breakthrough.
Welcome to the Experience Miracles podcast, where we help parents find hope, answers, and drug-free help to overcome your child's chronic health challenges. I'm your host, Dr. Tony Ebel, and I'll be sharing my experiences as both a dad and a doctor on every episode. I can take the latest science and neurology of healing and break it down in the most simple and relatable way possible. We'll take on the toughest topics and answer your biggest questions through interviews with other amazing parents and leading experts, leaving you with practical action steps that you can take to help your child heal and thrive. It's time to expect and experience miracles. Let's get started. Hey, what's going on, moms and dads? Welcome once again to the Experience Miracles podcast. This is the place you always get to go to every single week for hope, answers, and drug-free help. And we have someone here today who is just such a good friend, good colleague, and just unbelievable, trusted, valuable mentor to me. Dr. Josh Axe is a leadership expert, entrepreneur, and physician. He earned his doctorate from Palmer College and his Master of Science in Organizational Leadership from Johns Hopkins University. He is the co-founder and chief visionary officer of Ancient Nutrition and the founder of DrAxe.com. His company ranked the fastest growing Inc. 500 2 years in a row. He's a best-selling author of multiple books, including Eat Dirt, Keto Diet, and Ancient Remedies. And he regularly teaches, lectures, and leads others to a greater, healthier life through mindset, through natural health, through nutrition, through his incredible resources on his YouTube and his podcast, which we will talk about and link. And his latest book, Think This, Not That, is now available. And we will be providing all sorts of incredible information. And most importantly, making sure you know to go to joshaxe.com to check out that book and get your copy right away. So Dr. Josh, thank you for joining us. Welcome. And as we get going here, you know, the biggest thing that we always try and encourage our parents with and our patients with is to not just teach them and say, hey, follow blindly what we do and what we say, but to really develop a mindset themselves, to really become empowered themselves. So my first question to you, buddy, would be, when we take these two big life-changing topics of mindset and then health, which are two things that we're all interested in, how do they come together? Why is our mindset around our health and our family's health so vital, so foundational?
Well, you know, Tony, I think that oftentimes we don't realize how impactful our thoughts are on our physical health, right? There is a mind-body connection. And we've even seen this in the medical literature with the placebo effect and nocebo effect. And placebo effect, we know most people are familiar with. It's if you take a sugar pill and in one group and another group takes a medication, the sugar pill group will oftentimes see as good of results. And so because you believe you're healing or you believe you're pain-free. And so, and there's the nocebo effect, which is sort of the opposite, which is if you believe you're sick, it'll make you sick. In fact, there was a case study years ago that found that a man went into his doctors. They said, hey, you have liver cancer. You're likely going to die in 3 months. And he died 3 months later. Well, in autopsy, they went in and they realized, oh, we made a mistake. There's just a benign tumor on the side of your liver we could have removed and you could have lived another 30 years. And by the way, that was a real case study. And this has happened very, very often. So we know that our mindset and our thoughts and our beliefs greatly impact our health. I mean, I can tell you, Tony, so many people, and you see these same patients, they'll come in and they'll say, well, my doctor told me I had to be on this drug the rest of my life, or because my parents had this and it's in my genes, there's nothing I can do about it. And those limiting beliefs oftentimes sabotage our success, sabotage our healing. I mean, I've had this happen with, kids with ADHD or, oftentimes kids with learning disorders. It could be even children that are on the, ASD disorder spectrum. And oftentimes their doctor says, there's really nothing you can do. When the reality is, we know that there is so much that can be done. And I know this is something I really specialized in my clinic when I ran my functional medicine clinic, is on ADHD and autism and working with families and kids and helping them heal. So hopefully we can dive into a little bit about that today. But I'd say the big thing is, you know, our mindset and our emotions play a really, really vital role in us healing. And, you know, you know this about me. I mean, I wrote this book when I was bedridden. I mean, I was in great shape, ended up going in and having a simple medical procedure that was supposed to be natural, ended up getting a spinal infection, not walking for a year. This time last year, I wasn't even walking. And when I was in that position, I had a doctor tell me, hey, you may be permanently disabled. And I had this instead say, and by the way, I during that day and the next day, I was filled with these feelings of despair and hopelessness. And I realized, I said, that's not serving me. That's not helping me heal. This is now becoming a limiting belief that I have to shatter and get rid of. And so I started realizing and focusing on, hey, think about all the athletes that broke their spine and had spinal cord injuries and were told they were never walking again. And yet now they are walking again. Think about all the patients that have come into your clinics with a PX docs and they were told you're going to have to live with this issue the rest of your life. And now those kids are walking again. They're thriving. They've 10X'd their health. And so, and that's one of the reasons, again, I wrote this book, Think This, Not That, is I think it's the best book written on how to awaken your healing mindset. And this is important for kids. It's important for adults. But yeah, I think that this sort of our mindset is more important than our health than most people realize. And I think the scientific literature proves that as well.
Yeah. I think honestly, you know what? That's actually not the right phrase. I don't think you and I have both studied this to the nth degree, you leading the way out there in the world with this new book. We actually know if we were to rank, okay, out of these, and I'm not, you know, there could be a long list of things that we say, okay, families, we recommend you focus on these five things to improve your health. This is ranked number one. And it's important to say that because it's not the number one place most people turn to. If we follow the path that most of us are put on as a patient and then we become a parent. So it's essential. And I'm so stoked to have this conversation on the Experience Miracles podcast, because when we learn what Josh is going to teach us today as a parent, we then pass down this perspective. We pass down this mindset to our kiddos. And it's really a contrast point. It's really a, you know, kind of a fork in the road where if we go with the medical genetic predeterminism, you know, concept, theory of health, well, that's a path of despair. That's a path of we have no control over our health and it's luck of the draw and hope we get lucky. And if we didn't, like you said, Josh, you know, that it seems to be, yes, for sure. Clinically, the tougher the stuff we see, the Lymes, the pandas, you know, the autism sort of cases, it's almost like medicine will fight harder to say, oh, that's genetic. There's nothing you can do about it. And some patients end up almost, not almost, they do. They identify with that path of despair. And by doing that, it shuts the door. And that's what we want to do with this podcast episode, is open the door to what is actually more scientifically accurate, which says, no, the mind and the body are ridiculously connected. In fact, here's where I get even more excited. They're actually connected through the nervous system, which is my specialty. That's literally how this power comes to be. And the cheat code, if you will, the absolute foundational boost to healing is that belief system and saying, this isn't genetic predetermined. There is a causes most often behind these things. And if I can just find myself to a doctor who shares my beliefs, shares my concepts and perspectives around this, and then gets me the strategies, well, now the healing can take off. And we've seen miracles. There's a reason I wear a t-shirt that says expect miracles all day, every day in the clinic, because we do. And we know that this is a foundational component of it. So if we go back to your experience, I just want to pull the thread on that a little bit more here, bud, because you have an experience even with ADHD back in high school where one teacher, which is what a lot of teachers do with kids with ADHD, basically said, well, because you have ADHD, not only is there nothing you can do about it, but now your ADHD is going to be a detriment to you. It is going to be an obstacle in your path versus a strength. And so I think going back some time, you already overcame that with the perspective there. And then now again, last year with the spinal infection, you lived this same shift in perspective that patients need to. So what pulled you? What mindset strategies? So taking us a bit from the concept more towards even the action steps and strategies, how do we help patients build this strong mindset and move in this direction, which is the same thing as saying away from the, you know, the medical side of it?
Yeah. Well, let me start off with a personal example, and then I can dive into more practically. Here's how we can all do this. And it's so important for us, especially in our health, but in other areas of our life as well. But for me, yeah, when I was a freshman in high school, I had a teacher ask me to stay after class, and her name was Miss Noble. And I stayed after class, and she said, "Josh, what do you want to do after high school?" And I said, "I want to be a doctor." And she laughed out loud. And she said, "With your grades, you'll never get into med school." She said, "My daughter has a 3.8 GPA at Ohio State. She barely got into med school." And she said, "With your grades, you'd never be able to get in." And by the way, I said that because the year prior, my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer, went through chemotherapy, lost all of her hair. And I remember as a kid thinking, gosh, I'd like to help people like my mom. I know what I want to do. And then after this teacher basically told me, "You know what, you failed this paper, you're getting a D in my class." She said, "Try harder." I walked out of there. And the thing I took away as a 14-year-old, because I just didn't know any better, was I guess I'm not smart. That's sort of the takeaway that from that. And then 2 weeks later, my mom brought me in to see a doctor. I was diagnosed with ADHD, and they're talking about me, the doctor, like I'm not in the room, like there's something wrong with me. And then I thought, well, I guess not only am I not smart, I guess I'm like medically not smart. And then I just stopped trying in high school. I tried hard enough so that I would pass. And so my dad wouldn't absolutely, you know, get irate at me. But, and I had a great dad, by the way, but he just, you know, he was a stern military guy. And so I eventually graduated high school barely with like a C- GPA. And I applied to a bunch of colleges, got denied by almost all of them, but I did get a letter back from the University of Kentucky who said, "You're not admitted, but if you come and take summer school class and average above a 3.0, we'll let you in." And so I thought, well, great. You know, so I went and I said, "I'm going to try. Like, I don't want to be the kid that stays back, goes to community colleges, or doesn't go to college at all." And so I went and I tried. And first class I took was English 101. And I went and I said, "Okay, I'm going to really put forth an effort on this first big assignment, which was a paper." And then a few days later, I had the teacher and she said, her name is Miss Williams. She said, "Josh, can you stay after class?" And I thought, oh no, this is like deja vu. And she said, "Hey, what is your major?" And I said, "Well, I don't have one yet." She said, "Well, I think you should consider being an English major or a journalism major because I think you're a really talented writer. You got an A on this paper. You got the highest grade in the class." She said, "What way to go?" And I walked out of there, and Tony, for me, it was like having the way that I describe this, and I get into the science and behind this in the book, but it was like having a memory transplant or a mindset transplant. I went from believing I wasn't smart for 4 years. And then I had one person tell me, "Hey, you know what? You're good at this." And I thought, I'm capable. And I realized at that time as well that my issue was I wasn't trying and I wasn't doing things necessarily I liked in terms of some of the coursework. But then in college, I averaged above a 3.0. And then when I went to Johns Hopkins, I averaged a 3.9 GPA. You know, I eventually went on to start, you know, Ancient Nutrition, my supplement company, write a bunch of books, and of course become a doctor, as we've talked about. And I don't share any of that to boast. I share it all to say, if I would have held on to my one limiting belief, none of that would have happened.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people out there like that where you have a limiting belief about yourself or your kids or other people or the world. And because of it, nothing happens. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You don't succeed. And so I really realized is that our beliefs are so important. And for a lot of people on here, you are one single limiting belief away from that breakthrough. You're a single limiting belief away from that better relationship, from that career you love, from writing the book, from starting the business, for doing something, from a breakthrough in your health. And you just need to be able to define what is that belief and swap it for a new empowering belief. And again, in my new book, Think This, Not That, which by the way, it's the best book I've ever written. This is probably, if you count self-published books, I've written probably 12 plus books. And this is the best one I've ever written. And people have been saying, this helped me finally break through my mindset issues, my health issues. So I want to encourage everybody, you can go get it at joshax.com or amazon.com. And really proud of the book. But all that being said, and I wrote this when I was in bed that whole time and I couldn't walk for that year. But going back to this idea too, I want to you know, maybe we could also talk a little about ADHD for a minute, or these diagnoses, yes. because doctors constantly, let me say this, Tony and I have both experienced this. Yep. I have had, when I had my practice, hundreds, if not thousands of diabetics come into my clinic, and I helped hundreds of people reverse their type 2 diabetes. You know, and it's a similar thing with a lot of conditions. It's ADHD, it's hypothyroidism, it's autoimmune disease. I mean, we saw these things reverse because we went and found out the root cause of the issue and addressed the root cause. And when you do that, the body starts to heal. And so with something like ADHD, the first thing I tell people, Tony, is that ADHD is not a disease.
No.
It's not a disorder. It's a personality. It's the way many young boys are wired. And so, and I'm going to give you an example. Did I really have trouble paying attention? Because I could pay attention in my soccer game. I could pay attention when I was playing a video game. If a book, I actually liked it and it was adventurous and it was imaginative, I could sit there and read the whole thing. So the reality is, it's people with ADHD, they're the worst at multitasking. They tend to be very good at being able to focus on things, and they're much more forthright on doing things they like. They also tend to be much more kinesthetic learners, and they just can't sit in the classroom. You've got to get your energy out. And so, and it's also why are there a lot more boys with this? Is it a gender thing? No, it's a, you know, boys are created to move and get rid of that external energy even more in terms of their physiology. So, and by the way, I'm not the only one that says this. There's a lot of famed psychologists, everyone from Jordan Peterson and others, who've said ADHD is not a disease. It is a personality. And the problem is, we're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Most boys aren't meant to sit in a classroom 8 hours a day. So here's what people need to do for ADHD. Number one is awareness. It's realizing that the way that schools are set up today are not meant for kids. Einstein, they said, hey, ADHD. They said the Apostle Paul had ADHD. They said some of our nation's presidents had ADHD. So the reality is, these are high energy people that are kinesthetic learners that can focus on things that they tend to gravitate towards more. So with that, you got to be aware of that and try and cater to those needs the best you can. Number two, diet is important. We know if you're having excess carbohydrate and sugar intake for those kids, it's going to cause more hyperactivity, right? So getting rid of, and there's studies showing food colorings increase hyperactivity, sugar increases hyperactivity, and an inflammatory diet increases hyperactivity. So really those dietary adjustments, ideally a lot of meat and vegetables. Meat, vegetables, fruit is fine as well. You can do also things like sweet potatoes, but you want to do as much of that as possible. Very little to no sugar. The only sugar they should be having is from fruit. And then what I would say is, so fix the diet. That alone will make a dramatic difference. Supplements make a big difference. According to the literature, and I've experienced this too, B vitamins are important. You can do methylated or non-methylated, but B vitamins are going to be helpful. Omega-3 fatty acids are going to make a difference. I would also say that doing herbs that are more sort of calming in nature can oftentimes benefit kids as well. And that could be L-theanine. That's actually an amino acid, can calm the nervous system. There's CBD. There's a number of things. And here's number four. And this is probably the biggest thing. They need to be spending a lot of times outdoors in activities. If they come home in the morning, they're on the iPad, and in the afternoon, they're on the iPad or phone or TV or whatever it is, they're not able to get rid of that energy. So then they're stuck with it in the classroom. So before they leave for school, have your kids play outdoors, force them to move. And then ideally right after school, same thing, have them in sports, have them doing things to release that energy and spending as much outdoors and active as you possibly can. And those are the things that will serve those kids the best. I mean, there are other things, but generally speaking, those will really, really move the needle.
Yeah, no, from someone who every single morning in their prayers thanks God for giving him ADHD, this is my favorite conversation. If I were to say, okay, what is one thing that I could just turn on the camera, turn on the microphone and talk about and be able to change kids' lives with? And by the way, this changes, some of you as adults have probably been diagnosed with ADHD. You've been told this is genetic. You've been told you have a chemical imbalance. You've been told, you know, something's wrong with you and it's a disorder. And it's a deficit. I mean, come on. It literally has two negative terms in it, right? That it's a deficit disorder. Talk about unhealthy terms that are going to really, and why would they choose that on the medical side? Because it's vital with their solution, finger quoted. I know we're on a podcast here, but it's vital in their solution that you believe you're broken. It's vital with for them to sell you their solution. You cannot see this list that Josh and I are going to go through. And so I want to play this out.
And I want to say this, Tony, because this is important for people to understand too. I mean, there are numerous medical conditions that have been created after a drug was created. I mean, it's just the reality is the New Zealand and the United States are the only two countries that are allowed to do medical advertising for drugs. Because think about the conflict of interest here. You've got a trillion dollar money making industry in the pharmaceutical industry, and doctors are supposed to be do no harm and patients first. So my only goal, number one, is to help you heal and to serve you in healing. And when that money creeps in and those billions or trillions of dollars start creeping in, now all of those intentions are tainted. Yep. All of them are stained and those intentions are now impure. And so you think about the history of medicine before all of this, before the past 200 years of Western medicine. I mean, doctors were there. Yes, they made a good living, but really it was, I'm here to heal and serve people. Now it's like there's so many issues there. So that it's an important thing to remember. And I hadn't actually thought of some of the terminology, but attention deficit. It's not attention deficit. No. It's attention selectivity for these kids. It's not a deficit at all.
Yeah, no, they can crush it on Minecraft in the soccer field and struggle in the math class and the English class as it's structured. And that's what I want to borrow those words and put them together, because what we have to look at then is, okay, what is the structure? What is the personality and the neurology of a child? Now, let's go right into the storm with you guys as parents too. We definitely know that when we look at ADHD, it fits these personality types. It fits these creatives. It fits these kinesthetic movers. Well, what happens then when God has made you that way, when that is your child's design and they are more gas pedal prone, they are more sympathetic fight or flight prone. There is two ways to look at that. Two important things to share here. Number one, that is going to serve them well in what they're called to do. I'm wearing my called to serve shirt. If I didn't have ADHD, I wouldn't get as much done. I get more done by 10 a.m. than most people do in a week, right? And so through service and through impact, I can actually use that as the stark contrast as a deficit and disorder. It is a superpower, and your child has that within them. Now, here's the truth of the neurophysiology. When you are wired that way to be more of a Ferrari, you know, engine than a Ford Fiesta, well, that's where Dr. Josh's list, and I'm going to add a cheat code to that list, that's where that comes in. Because when you run a Ferrari car, you have to have really big brakes. You have to have a really wonderful handling and suspension system, because you're going to be taking corners faster. And what ADHD kiddos do, what ends up with ADHD that can spill it into this challenge in life, is they don't have the brakes within their nervous system. When that nervous system has gone through a lot of stress through the prenatal period, through labor and delivery, birth trauma and interventions, when that child was colicky and chronic ear infections, and then they got antibiotics and it went into their gut and it destroyed their gut-brain connection further, and the gut is where they make serotonin and dopamine, now you have a 1+1=11 negative, where they already have this personality that's going to skew this way. Now they have stress, sympathetic fight or flight stress stuck on their nervous system. So parents, when you go through that list, which Dr. Josh perfectly laid out, number one is the real conversation today, is just change your perspective. And I want to sneak in a teenager story here a little bit to really bring it home, that literally just happened in practice yesterday. And then if you've looked at your ADHD, raging bull kiddo, teenager, heck, maybe even yourself, and you've said, you know, I do need to slow down this stress. So I need to back sugar down. I need to back chemicals and preservatives down. I need to get healthy meats, clean vegetables, macronutrients, and my B vitamins in. A lot of times when you hear us talk about that from natural health doctors, and then you're living each day with your kiddo really stuck in fight or flight, there's a cheat code, and that's my best fun way to say it. There's a cheat code called neurologically focused chiropractic, where the adjustments that we're able to make, we know exactly how to get into the sympathetic nervous system and make adjustments that release that stuck excessive stress, because often it does get built up excessively, and nerves that fire together wire together. So you get this extra dose of sympathetic dominance that turns it from a superpower to a struggle. And so we can pull off that sympathetic stress with these kind of adjustments. And in the same breath, what we're doing is we're activating the vagus nerve in the parasympathetic system so your child can, one, sleep better. The first response we get all the time when we start adjusting ADHD kiddos is they improve their sleep, because raging bull kiddos struggle to fall asleep and stay asleep. So the brain gets, you know, out of balance and the struggles get worse. Second, a lot of kiddos with ADHD struggle with constipation and gut issues. They have decreased motility and absorption ability because their nervous system is stuck in sympathetics. So if you've tried to get these good, clean, bigger, healthier foods in, and you've met some resistance with your kiddo shifting lifestyle, and they just look like they're addicted to the sugar and they're addicted to the video games and they're addicted to sitting on their butt, they are, because their nervous system dictates that addiction. And so when you change the nervous system first, it is so exciting to then be able to go down this list, which we all want to do for parents, which is to get these healthier foods into our kiddos, get them outside, get them off the iPad. And you know who also wants to do this? Is my last thing on this rant here, Josh. Teenagers. My favorite consults, it's impossible to say the favorite people you help, right, Josh, when you're blessed to have this job we do. But right now I'm in this zone where I have two teenagers about to have a third. And I see the world, I see the mindset that the regular world, the medical world wants them to have, Josh. I can tell that a lot of their teachers want them to have your English freshman teacher mentality, you know, and send them down the bad road instead of the good. And I don't even want to talk about teachers. That's not my expertise. Doctors. I know that if the more times a teenager goes to see a pediatrician and neurologist, the more times they're going to believe they're broken. And if a teenager believes that they're broken, if a teenager believes they need medications for the rest of their life, that is the most not good life ever. And so when we sit down knee to knee in our consultations, first off, we do something. Remember your appointment, right, that you shared the story with. That's what made me think of this here, buddy, man. We talk directly to the teenager. We want them in the room so we can empower them, so we can educate them and say, look, this is not, you're not broken. You're not poorly designed. You just can't stand math and you would rather code the next supercomputer. You know what I mean? You're just, you're in the wrong direction with this. And so I'm going too far into this rant, but you can see teenagers begin to heal before we've adjusted them, before we've changed their diet, and before we've got them active. Because the moment we change their beliefs, you actually, I see it every day in my clinic, you see a teenager go from locked in, stressed, and feeling like they're broken and going to feel this way forever, to for the first time meeting a doctor who believes in their ability to heal, who believes in their ability to thrive, and then puts the strategies in place. So the most important step, moms and dads, in these stories is, who are you and your kids around? And so, Dr. Josh, it was crucial for you to have a new teacher, a mentor at that time, right, to be in your life. So I, going back to that question earlier, how essential is that for our mindset to be very focused on who is around us and who's not? And when it comes to our family's health, how important is it for families to probably stay away as much as they possibly can from the conventional pediatrician? And I wrote it down. You called it a memory transplant. Can I say doctor transplant? can we say, yeah. Absolutely, replace the conventional pediatrician with one who thinks this way? How essential of a step is that?
Well, one of the things that made me think of, just with your last comment there, is that the reason I called this book Think This, Not That, is that I used to teach my patients how to eat this, not that. And it's a very similar thing, but really what you think is equally as important or more important than actually what you eat. And so many people are thinking the wrong things. And so I really go through in this book exactly, here's what to think and how to think it. And here's how this will help you heal. Here's how it will find your purpose and your identity and just really live your best life possible. And so all that being said, there's no doubt that the people we spend our time with, in fact, my biggest life lesson, single biggest life lesson, is we become who we surround ourselves with. Yeah. And if you have great mentors and friends and people in your life, you're going to excel. You're going to grow. You're going to experience breakthrough. There's a study at Duke University that found that if you want to get fit, hang out with more disciplined people, right? It's just true. If you want to become more physically fit, hang out with more physically fit people. if you want to grow in your career, hang out with people that are ahead of you in your career. You know, if you want to be around and raise great kids, hang out with other great families. I mean, those are the keys. And the same thing, if you want to change your health radically and you need a guide, then switch your doctor, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's crazy. I mean, we've seen these examples on social media. I saw this one the other day. There was one of, this is no endorsement at all, but for a presidential candidate, but there was a picture of Anthony Fauci in one picture and then RFK Jr. in another one. And you got RFK Jr., who's got this ripped chest, he's built, guy's in his 70s. I mean, just is, you know, I mean, and he's been talking about health for years. In fact, I spoke with him at the Autism One conference. That's when I first met him via Jenny McCarthy introduced us years ago. And so got to chat with him, and he's got an amazing heart for health. But then you've got Anthony Fauci, who just, you go through his history of just the manipulation and the lies and everything else. And you're like, but it's like he's seen in the media eye as the most noteworthy and praiseworthy person. It doesn't make sense. And so the reality is, like, if I'm going to take care of my health, I'm going to listen to somebody who's lived it and who's walking that themselves, right? And it doesn't mean they have perfect health, because maybe there's been certain circumstances and they've learned from those. But overall, I think that's incredibly important, is that what's the health of your doctor like? What's their family's health like? I mean, you really do want to take a look at that. And so that is one of the biggest game changers people can make. If you're under the care of a conventional doctor who is only prescribing drugs for your issue, again, going back to the issue, let's say hypothyroidism, for example, because there's a lot of moms that have that, you know, is your doctor just saying, here's Synthroid, or are they going and saying, you know what, hypothyroidism, that's actually an issue that's related to, your adrenal glands and actually your gut. And so let's fix those. And so the best things are ashwagandha and astragalus. Let's do some of those herbs. Let's do those B vitamins. Thiamine is very important. And along with B12, we need selenium, iodine, and iron. Those are the most essential things for the thyroid. In addition, what do we need to do? Well, you need to unplug more. You need to give time. You know, your battery's only at 20%. We need to get it back up to 80%. So here's some things you can do. Here's what you need to do diet-wise. You can't do raw, you know, this food. You need to do more of, you know, berries and rice and bone broth and salmon. And I'm going too deep here on this, but my point is if you have hypothyroidism, if your doctor knows also the blood or all those things to do, and they're practicing more of that functional medicine and chiropractic and more of that holistic natural medicine approach, you're going to see good results. I guarantee it. Versus you don't even have a chance of getting better under the conventional, where they say, here's the medication and you have to be on this the rest of your life. So the same thing with your kids, you know, this is why, I mean, Chelsea and I, you know, with our daughters, like we have them get chiropractic adjustments. We have them eating just real food. We have them spending lots of time outdoors. We limit screen time. We make sure they're hanging out with other kids and families where these other kids have really high character. And so we are super, super intentional about these things. So we become who we surround ourselves with. Another principle with us, Tony, is we are what we consume. So, you know, it's, you are what you eat, you become what you eat, but also you are what you consume. If you're consuming dark television, like I remember when I was a kid, Tony, you've heard me talk about this probably. Mm-hmm. The TV shows I watched were like we had this thing, TGIF, thank God it's Friday. And it was like Family Matters and Step by Step. And I think Full House and these great shows. And then during the day, I'd watch like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air and Saved by the Bell. And every single one of those shows was about redemption, and it had a moral of the story woven in.
Big time.
Name a sitcom or a show today where there's all of these, like, you know, some sort of morals or ethics woven in. It doesn't, everything is really dark. My point is, are you consuming darkness in your music, in your social media, and who you're following, and these things, or are you consuming light? It's important for you and your kids. If you got teenagers, you know, you got to make sure that they are constantly consuming light and only light as much as possible. And again, and that's what leads to health, and that's what leads to life.
We got We promise at all times here, buddy man, we promise our audience that we will take, and I love this because it's exactly what we're doing. Number one promise is we are going to get into the toughest of conversations. We're going to get into tough conditions, tough conversations, and then we're going to simplify them, which is what we're doing, because the simplest move so often to shift your family's life is the one that's right in front of you. And if you have a doctor who is unhealthy physically, yep. Yes, maybe, but let's look further. Are they just unhealthy in their mindset? Are they miserable? Are they judgmental? Are they narcissistic? If you have a doctor who is unhealthy, well, what kind of outcome do you think they're going to lead your family to? And if you look at pediatricians, and then the second thing we do all the time, Josh, we promise we have fun too, right? So I told you we'd sneak in a few jokes here. So we're gonna come back to the TGIF thing. And here's a joke to kind of illustrate my point about which doctor should be hired for the health of your family. And, you know, if you took a team of pediatric nervous system focused chiropractors and then a team of conventional pediatricians, and we went toe to toe in dodgeball, I think we on our side might have to throw underhand just to take it easy over there, because there's just a health contrast, right? And it actually breaks my heart because they don't know about health. They don't get it either. They're not experiencing health. It actually breaks my heart. So many of my undergrad, you know, we all have the same undergrad, right? And I know for me, many of my friends did go on to medical school. And when I look at them now, honestly, buddy, they look 20 years older than me. They are miserable. They do not want their kids to go into their profession. And so real quick now, I don't even know if you know this, but here's the really funny thing that TGIF, remember Boy Meets World, right? So Corey,
by the way, that was Chelsea and I talked about. That's her favorite. That was her.
Okay. We're really going down a path in here, buddy. So now, flashback 2025. Well, let's leave the math off of it. We'll just say flashback to me being that age. Okay, and then I have a gigantic curly fro hair without the beard. Can you see it? So maybe now everybody on social media, you know, send us a DM if you want to see a picture of Dr. Tony back in his Corey and Topanga days. I have had, back when I was in high school, junior high, multiple times I got mistaken for, now I'm losing his name here on the podcast. Corey, his brother was Fred. His brother was an actor too.
Fred Savage. His brother was in Wonder Years.
And so I had my TGIF era. I think it must have been, I think it was Roseanne and Married with Children that took us off course from good wholesome entertainment.
Exactly. You know what, like my parents would not let me watch that. I'm Married with Children, and then I wasn't allowed to watch The Simpsons either, because, you know, Bart,
not at all same rebellious. But Coach, remember Coach, a little Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, those were doable ones, at least in our family. Okay, all right, so back on track with this. I love
Tony, I did want to mention this as well. It's important to understand, I mean, I don't think people actually realize this, that conventional medical doctors, they don't get a single nutrition class.
None.
They never get a healthcare class. And I want to parallel this with everything else in life. Imagine if you had your financial investor, let's say Warren Buffett, and the only thing he ever studied was failures in business. He never even studied what success looked like. Like how would you actually know, versus you're mentored by somebody who's only been successful, versus you're mentored by only people that have failed. Yes, you can pick up some things that went wrong, but that's it. Like, you're never able to thrive. And you could go with everything. Imagine you had a coach and they'd never studied under great coaches. They only studied failed coaches. And so right now versus I got these nutrition courses, many of them in chiropractic school. And then, of course, a lot of self-study. But that's, I don't think a lot of people realize even sort of they never have a single class on health.
I use that sports analogy all the time, but you know, we're the same human in that way, that we love health, that we love, you know, we love God, we love our family, we love health, we love sports, and you know, and success. So that's kind of the list, right? And then we just cycle through that. So I'll often use sports analogies with my family, with our patients, to illustrate this point we're really getting into with think this, not that, and to make the moves that they need to make. And a lot of times the first move is getting something or someone out of the way so the good can get in the way. But thankfully I practice in Chicago, where the sports continue to be terrible, specifically the Bears. So I always just will, I'll put this kind of Socratically to my patients, be like, do you notice the Bears need to fire their coach every 2 to 3 years? Why are they firing him? And you let them answer, well, bad results, right? So that's what they're looking for. They're getting a new head coach with the hope. Now, maybe that's not a good analogy because it continues to not work out. They're hiring.
Well, it's obviously probably a front an ownership issue, but going right to the source.
So it's the mom that's got to make the decision versus that. But So speaking of think this, not that, what I wanted to do here, buddy, is we kind of round their base here with this incredible podcast episode. Everyone, please make sure you're sharing this. Go to your favorite place. You know, obviously where you're listening here is your favorite podcast place. Subscribe, leave a review. Please share this. This is the stuff that will shift. I honestly, with this one, because I have such a big heart always, I had my shift in my teenage years where my ADHD, where I found chiropractic very similar to Dr. Josh. And I had no clue about chiropractic. I had no clue about natural health. I had no clue about any of this. And God sent me into a chiropractor's office for a bad shoulder. And oh, by the way, it fixed my shoulder, fixed my neck, and fixed my brain, and taught me what I needed to say, hey, your ADHD is a superpower, man. We just got to get your nervous system, your gut, and these things back in balance. Mm-hmm. And away you go. And it was. So I would love if you share this, listen to this with your teenagers. This is an incredible podcast episode right here to listen with your teenagers, because that's a little bit of a cheat code too. I've got one. Sometimes teenagers will listen to others better than their parents. So there you go on that. So a little rapid fire here, buddy. All right. Give us 30 to 60 seconds, just straight from your wealth of knowledge and your hard answers on this list of questions. Number one, why is the overuse of antibiotics and other medications so bad for gut health, immune health, and overall health?
Yeah, well, let's start with antibiotics. You know, antibiotics kill the majority of the good bacteria in our guts, and it's very hard to repopulate. And those actually act as sort of the army and a big part of to protect our gut and our immune system. And really, it causes leaky gut syndrome. Leaky gut syndrome is when we get these, imagine your gut lining is a net, you get these big holes in it. Things start leaking through in the bloodstream, like undigested food particles, proteins like gluten and casein, heavy metals, and viruses and bacteria get in there, causing an inflammatory reaction, which can lead to food sensitivities, eventually even autoimmune disease. And so that's really one of the major issues with antibiotics. And the other thing with medications is every single medication depletes your body of nutrients. Antibiotics deplete your body of probiotics, B vitamins, iron, zinc, glutamine, a number of nutrients. And so every single drug is depleting your body of vitamins and nutrients. So it's causing another medical condition. And so, and the other thing is there's a better way. There's natural antibiotics. Yeah. There's natural ways to heal the gut. And so the big thing is there are totally natural replacements.
That's perfect, because that's what I love. Oh, dude, I love the title of your book so stinking much, because that's how we teach. That's how we empower parents. And you got to have both lists. You got to have the not-to-do list, but the not-to-do list, you get rid of stuff that's only valuable if you have good stuff to replace it with, right? So I love to think this, not that, because it leads right into do this, not that, right? And so, okay, so we know that there is so much better ways. That was your last thing. I knew it was going to get you there. So what is the better way? Let's say our kiddo, let's say your girls have, because they're right, teething, seasonal changes. They're going to have a little ear congestion, sinus congestion. You could tell that their respiratory and immune system is going through a challenge. What do you turn to in your family to get that healing boosted up?
Well, the first thing is prevention, you know, making sure your kids are eating mostly meat, mostly vegetables, mostly fruit year round, getting probiotics. And I would say as a supplement, getting probiotics year round, some soil-based organisms or just a kid's or an adult's probiotic supplement on a regular basis. And then a good kid's multi or a green superfood powder. Those would be some of the keys that I would say that you want to be getting. And then if your kids get sick, some of the best natural antibiotics are higher doses of probiotics. Vitamin D can be very effective if your kids haven't been in the sunshine. Generally speaking, I really like elderberry, and I like ginger and echinacea, and then zinc and vitamin C. But if you just pick two, elderberry and zinc are probably two of the most important.
Awesome. So speaking of important, why is the microbiome? Give us just another rundown on what the microbiome in the gut does. And if a family, and I'll kind of 1A, 1B that. And if a family, you know, they're just new to this world, and unfortunately the kids have had some antibiotics, they have had the disruption happen. What is the first step or two that someone needs to take to rebuild the microbiome in the gut?
Yeah, well, the microbiome is critical because it's actually known as your second brain. It's you have the second most nerve tissue there. There are numerous activities that happen there that affect your whole body. You know, we know Hippocrates said all disease begins in the gut, and it's where your health begins as well. It's where nutrient absorption occurs. And so if you're not absorbing nutrients, then you're not getting nutrients out to every single organ of your system. So if your gut's not functioning properly, your thyroid can't function properly, your lungs can't, your liver can't, your skin, your lower, you know, your colon. And so in your cells, it affects cellular health. So it's really critically important that our gut microbiome is whole and healthy. In order to get it there, again, you've got to have probiotics. You've got to have these collagen proteins. In fact, the majority of your gut lining is made of collagen. So that's very, very important that that's there. And then I would also say a few things that people may not realize is that, again, we've heard it said 70% of your immune system lives in your gut. So if you want a strong immune system, if you want to fight autoimmune disease, if you want to fight cancer, if you want to fight off the cold and flu, if you want to fight off chronic viruses and mold and Lyme and Epstein-Barr and COVID, you've got to have a strong gut. So that's primary importance is for that. And another thing is 95% of your body's serotonin is produced in the gut. And so a lot of kids today with mental health issues and depression and anxiety and even ADD and learning disorders, many of them are tied to issues with the gut microbiome. And you need your gut to be healthy in order to produce hormones like serotonin. And so I could keep going, but yeah, it's important for numerous reasons.
Love it. So speaking of importance, and I love this because the gut is accurately entirely called the second brain, right? And so we know by God's design that the first brain, the central nervous system, autonomic nervous system, the way I love to really teach people about one, kind of level one, is the importance of the nervous system, period. It controls and modulates all the other systems of the body. And we actually kind of like to separate, not that it is actually separated, but just to show its importance, the importance of the brain stem and specifically the vagus nerve. So that first brain is the brainstem, and the gut-brain connection literally happens between the vagus nerve. Some of our best content that we continue to have parents ask questions about the vagus nerve. We did a whole deep dive podcast. You can kind of go back a few episodes. You'll hear me do a whole deep dive on the vagus nerve, parents. So in your words, Josh, why is the nervous system and specifically the vagus nerve so important to those things you just talked about with the microbiome, with gut absorption, with serotonin, and so forth?
So the vagus nerve is critically important because it really keeps balance between the sympathetic nerve system and the parasympathetic nerve system. We know that your sympathetic nerve system is your body's fight or flight response. If a bear is chasing you or you're in a traffic jam and having emotional relationship stress, whatever it is, that's going to kick in gear. And what happens is the blood flow goes to your brain, a certain area of your brain, and your extremities, because your body says, I'm in an emergency situation. I need to run or I need to fight and I need to be alert. So all your blood flow goes there. Now, if you live in that state, that high stress state, then other areas and organs are not getting that blood flow. They're not getting those nutrients. They're not getting that energy. So they suffer. So you can't digest as well. Think about this. You can't go and run a race or do hard physical activity and eating a double cheeseburger at the same time. Oftentimes you're going to vomit it up because your system doesn't have the energy to actually digest it at that time. When you are able to stimulate that vagus nerve, you're kicking in that parasympathetic nerve system. So rather than fight or flight, it's known as the rest and digest system. Resting in terms of now all your organs can cleanse, your body can better go into something called autophagy, where you start anti-aging and getting cellular cleanup and healing your mitochondria. Your body is now better able to digest food, absorb nutrients, balance hormones. Your body's actually able to recharge and heal. This is another reason, Dr. Tony, why I think chiropractic care is so underappreciated. In fact, chiropractic care is one of the most tremendous and impactful forms of natural medicine. A lot of times people don't realize that chiropractic care focuses on the central nerve system and balancing out the sympathetic and parasympathetic response. Because if there is lack of mobility and motion in an area, there's less blood flow, it's less activated. And so when chiropractors go and do those adjustments, they're really turning on that parasympathetic nerve system. This is why that kids that are under chiropractic care and adults, when they get under care, they'll notice their stress goes down, they're better able to focus, they're better able to digest, they're better able to breathe, ear infections go away, numerous medical conditions improve, like acid reflux and high blood pressure, according to several clinical studies, there's better athletic performance. So all of that can happen under chiropractic care because of their ability to balance out that sympathetic and parasympathetic response.
It is It is the most exciting thing, I think, in healthcare. I really, you know, just to make sure parents really are able to see it for what it is, we almost look at it as this third branch of healthcare, like its own unique form where you have your mm-hmm. conventional medicine, and they're going to forever be amazing. God gave us them for crisis and emergencies. I've seen them save my son's life, but as far as health restoration and rebuild, that wasn't their training. As Dr. Josh talked about earlier, there was no classes on it. They had no experience in it. So I couldn't trust them. I almost kind of think it's unfair to think of a medical doctor to be both an emergency physician and a health physician. Those are two different mm-hmm. jobs. And then in the middle, we have natural health and we have nutritional healing and we have all the things we can do there. Well, if you're a family listening to this as we get to the end here and you have tried all that, you've tried to apply all these things for your family, the real thing to figure out is this third branch of nervous system focused healthcare, because your child might be so stuck in sympathetic dominance that they're just shut down. Their nervous system is shut down. Their mood is shut down. Literally, their body is just shut down. And what we find all the time is that once kids get that parasympathetic vagus nerve activated, everything changes. And that healthy, holistic, incredible lifestyle you so want to lead your family into, that might be the one key you need to turn and unlock to open up all the doors, because that's what we see happen. We have such a blessing as nervous system focused pediatric chiropractors, because the one thing we do, make those adjustments to restore balance, then opens up the door to all the things we want to do for your family, which is empower you and lead you to a healthy mindset and a healthy lifestyle that follows really having a healthy nervous system. And so parents, if you've tried all this stuff and you love this, you're really taking this in right now and you're like, tell me more. Go to pxdocs.com, learn all about the vagus nerve, learn all about something called dysautonomia, which is the condition when these nervous systems get out of balance, and then go to and learn about nervous system dysregulation. Because when you address those things head on, then everything and then some is so much easier. We have one final rapid fire question. I don't know. This might be the most important here, buddy, man. So here's my question. Speaking of slowing things, this is, I told you this is coming. Speaking of slowing things down, okay, like the vagus nerve, rest, slow, boring of college football, in my opinion, is the Big Ten. So why is Ohio State, your beloved Ohio State football, why are they such an outlier? And why is watching the rest of Big Ten football so boring? And what do you recommend we do about that? Do we just watch Ohio State, no one else? I mean, what's the answer here, buddy?
Well, I really believe the fastest way to change and transform an organization is to change the leadership at the top. And so I really think that's it. And by the way, Ohio State played that same sort of ball. Now, I think they were above average and at the top of the Big Ten still, but they brought in Urban Meyer, who was an SEC coach and really focused on speed. And it was everything was about speed, 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 speed. So I really think he came in with a different mindset, a different mentality. And I do think that sort of changed some of the program too, the way Ryan Day, now Chip Kelly's there. So I think that's part of it. But listen, I love Big Ten football. I love, you know, the big old boys from Nebraska and Iowa and everyone else just sort of duking it out in the trenches. And so I'm, you know, I remember going with my dad to games and now still sometimes, you know, we went to a game not too long ago together and just great memories of watching Big Ten football together and, you know, some of that Midwest football. So
right,
it's a favorite of mine. But Tony Wednesday, thanks so much for having me. I've loved this. And by the way, I just want to say one more time, you know, I'm so excited for people to check out the new book, Think This, Not That, because if you want to know how to eat this, not that, this is even more important. So this really goes into, here's the mind shifts you need to have in order to take your life and your kids' life to a whole new level. And we've gotten rave reviews from people who have read it already saying, man, this book has just changed their life. And so if you want to experience a breakthrough and read just a great book, I took all the science, made it really simple, but I think you're going to be really impressed by it. And if people go to joshax.com and get the book, they're going to get hundreds of dollars worth of free bonuses. They'll get the free workbook. They'll also get the free, I did a mindset masterclass. I have bonus interviews, all kinds of freebies you'll get on there. If you go to joshax.com and get the book, you can get it on Amazon as well. But I want to say, Tony, thanks so much for having me. You're such a good friend and man, so I'm so inspired by you and your doctors. You guys are doing such an amazing job of going out there. And the thing I mentioned earlier, most doctors today, let me say this, part of what's happened in the pharmaceutical companies today is they've come in and they've created this, you know, this conflict of interest because of the financials. And I know you guys, well, obviously, you know, you're a doctor, you guys bring in money, but again, I know the heart of you and your doctors, because I've worked with you guys, and it's all about serving and helping people. And that's my mentality too. So I know we're on mission together. I'm so honored to be on mission with you as well. And want to say thanks so much for having me on. And if people want to listen to more podcasts, I've also got a podcast. It's the Dr. Josh Ack Show. And I've covered ADHD. You could search on YouTube or my podcast and search ADHD or nutrition or other things that I've covered as well. And you can also find me online at Dr. Josh Ack. But again, Tony, thanks so much for having me.
Brother, man, I need 60 more seconds just to really tell people, just to really, you know, empower our trusted tribe to take those three actions. And I really want you to just fall in love with all three. Number one, the book is a must because we need to shift the health of future generations. And that starts with us as parents. We can't expect our kids to be healthy in mindset and healthy in lifestyle if we're not first. So it's really us. We're the leaders of our kiddos. And one of the things that Josh is just an absolute expert in mindset and health and leadership. And so God has called us to lead our kids. And the path they're going to take is up to the one they see us take. They're much more likely to model us and literally, truly follow in our footsteps. And so think this, not that. I know you didn't write it, buddy man, as a parenting book, but knowing what's in there, you could absolutely classify it as that and really change the lives of generations to come. And second, go to that YouTube page. It is a goldmine of topics and just incredible places. I know our patients love your YouTube and they love your podcast. So the book is a must. It is incredible. Go get all the good stuff. We ordered them all for our tribe, our team and everything. That's so awesome. We're going all into those. Get the book, get on the podcast, get on YouTube. And Josh, you guys listening in, if you want to know why the Experience Miracles podcast exists, it's because Josh is a trusted mentor of mine. If you want to know why pxdocs.com and the directory exists with all those incredible articles, it's because Josh has taught me and led me and inspired me and held me accountable to what God has called me to do to bring this out there. So Josh, in front of everyone here before we close off, I just got to say a real, true, personal, heartfelt thank you to you. You know how nervous I was stepping into this space, but you also knew how needed it was that we get out here and we be this voice and we be this voice of empowerment and transformation for families. So thanks for doing it with us, dude. You mean the world to me. We're going to have you back and we're going to jam on this again. So everyone, check out all those links, get the book, send us a DM, take a picture and tag Dr. Josh on Instagram and tag PX Docs in the podcast and let us know what you think with the book. And we'll see you the next time we come back around and jam again, Dr. Josh. Thanks, homie.
Thanks, Dr. Tony. Thanks, everybody.